Last week we were in Romans 11, we got all the way to chapter 12, verse 2, and we talked about the mercies of God. We went through presenting ourselves or our bodies, which it said, I beseech you, brethren, Paul speaking, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So the mercies of God, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, which means different. Not the ritualistic activity of going to church and maybe even reading your Bible and nothing's penetrating and there's nothing in your life that has changed or there's no fruit. There's a lot of works, but there's no fruits. The fruits of forgiveness, the fruits of repentance, the fruits of patience. All these things that come up inside of us, if we're truly presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, we will be holy. We will be different. We will be humble. We'll be willing to take responsibility, sometimes even when it's not ours. Have you ever been in that position where someone will come against you and you'll just humble yourself? And he or she may even be angry, but then it just turns. As the Bible says, that a gentle answer, it brings calm, it brings peace to the situation. Holy, different, being different in our mind, the way we think, in our heart, the way we feel, in our will, the things that we purpose to do, to present ourselves to the world as different, to an acceptable God. Why? Because it's our reasonable service. This is the very least you can do, is what he's saying. If there's no life change in you, you're not even doing the least of what God has asked you to do. I mean, think about it. This week when you're going about your business, be more honest, be more sincere, be more humble, be more giving of yourself, not just financial. We also looked at the four sacrifices in Romans 12:1, the person, as we mentioned just now, presenting your bodies, yourselves. The praise in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, where it says, when we praise the Lord, it's a sacrifice acceptable to God. And by the way, your living sacrifice is a form of praise. So you see how it all ties in. We looked at the person, the praise, the performance in Hebrews 13:16. Doing good to others, sharing. It's God is well pleased with all of that. And then the purse, meaning your pocketbook in 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. They gave, speaking of the Corinthians, they gave even in their poverty. As Paul was coming through and they were ministering, these people felt the move of God to give of themselves. They gave them hospitality, but then they also gave of finances to help the ministry to go on. And we thought, man, what a beautiful thing that is, even in their poverty. How many of you have ever been in a place of poverty or hardship and you're faced with, do I tithe or do I not tithe? What do I do, Lord? You know, but if you truly seek, I'm not here to tell you what to do on that. You truly seek the Lord and His will. See which direction He'll take you. See which ministry He'll show you which to invest your money in. It's amazing. I remember being so broke at times when the kids were small. We were broke, broke, broke. Nobody knew it. We wouldn't go out and tell everybody, hey, we're broke. You know, we're broke. Do you have any money? We're broke. And yet God would provide us. We were faithful because the Bible does say, will your man rob God? And you say, well, of course not. I won't rob God. But you have through your tithes and offerings in Malachi, the last book before the New Testament. And it was so amazing to me, Yvonne and I, God had put in our heart. And that's the key. It's a heart issue. It's not about the law. It's not about what you need to give. It has to be 10% or 10, 20% or what. It's not about the law. It's about your heart. Are you hearing from God? Maybe you're saying, well, I've never tithed before. I'm going to give 5% or 2%. What is on your heart? The Bible says to give as you purpose in your heart. Whatever you purpose, God will bless. I guarantee you. And it's amazing as we would just purpose. We purpose to do that. And as we did that, our kids were in private school. And a check would come from someone who saw or through the veil, if you will, and would send us a check for the kids. For about a year that happened. And different things like that would happen. And I've shared stories with you and you guys know all about it. But all I'm trying to say, it's a heart issue. Give what God puts on your heart. And eventually, it may grow. You never know. We also looked at being transformed, not just in our bodies, presenting them as a living sacrifice, but in our mind, thinking differently. Thinking, how do we respond in an argument? How do we respond in a financial situation? How do we respond in a crisis? Our mind, we start filling it with the Word of God and we start to respond differently. And because of that, our bodies respond as well. And our mouth isn't as sharp. Our accusations aren't there because the Bible says that if we cover everything with love, we won't have these things. Read chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. But then also in our spirit. Our spirit, a spirit that's yearning for the truth, yearning for God, and reaching out through your mind and your body. And then, of course, we talked about being grafted into Christ over in John 15. And you guys can read that if you haven't already. And we talked about how we can do nothing unless we are a part of Him. So all these things are merely works because you can do them. You can do all these things that I mentioned last week, but they're works unless you're grafted into the main vine, Jesus Christ. Then it's fruit. Otherwise, it could be just works. Think about that. So that brings us to chapter 12, verse 1. Gifts for today. There's a lot of gifts that God has put out there for us to be part of. We're going to be taking a look at some of them now. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given to me, everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Through the grace given us, each one of us has a grace. What do we use this grace for? Here is showing us that God gives grace to the humble, James says in chapter 4, verse 6 of James. He gives grace to the humble. It's amazing, if we stand in our pride, God resists us. It says that He resists the proud and He gives grace to the humble. There isn't anything more motivating to me than to be humble, than to know that God will resist me if I don't. It's amazing, if I get hard and my countenance gets hard, how God will stand against me. It's a military term that means literally like a wrestler to stand against and to push equal. You'll be going against God and God's just standing there holding you back. And you'll never be able to get past Him, as He's much mightier than you or I. But He gives grace to the humble. That's why I was mentioning, I remember dealing with customers sometimes that just explode at me. And sometimes they're even wrong and they're exploding and they don't even have all the information and they don't understand what I'm doing as I'm doing the electrical work on their house. And then as I just calmly wait for that gentle answer, you know, so that it can calm the situation, praying to God all the time, humbling myself, and then just presenting the truth in humility, in love. And it just pacifies the whole situation. It's like, wow. And these are with unbelievers even. Sometimes it's harder even with Christians because we don't have the mind of Christ. We're not doing what we did last week, what we mentioned. But one of the gifts of grace is humility. He says, not to think of yourself more highly than he ought. It's so easy for us to think highly of ourselves than in humility. How do we do this? Sometimes we exalt knowledge that we have of whatever. It could even be knowledge in the Word of God. And we start to exalt that and say, well, I've memorized this much. I know what this is. I know this scripture. And I can tell you the address of all these scriptures. And that's a good thing. But you know that knowledge puffs up. If we're not grafted into the vine, if we're not plugged into Jesus Christ, that knowledge or even wisdom that God has given us becomes a source of pride. And we start to rise up on our own. And we can do nothing. It's amazing. You can study the Bible from one end to the other and not have any fruit because we don't have the heart. We haven't been transformed in the mind. Our spirit is dead to Jesus Christ. We just have all this head knowledge. What we mentioned a few weeks ago, epignosis and gnosis. Gnosis being you know. Epignosis means that you have a relationship with Him. You know it inside for real. You've experienced Him. Don't think highly of yourself. Another way that we try to lift ourselves up is by putting others down. by saying, you know what? I would never do that. There's no way I would ever do that. And by saying that, you're exalting yourself up. It's thinking highly of yourself. Being sober-minded, meaning that you have a clear head. You're not obstructed with the things of the world. And God has given each one of us this measure of faith. In verse 4, for as we have many members in the body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we see the humility, a clear mind, and the grace that He's given us. If we have that, brings us to a saving faith. Verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. You guys know the analogies here. Different parts of the body. The foot. You've heard it before. Wanting to be the hand. God's given us grace, and I'm able to do a certain thing, and you guys are able to do certain things, and sometimes I can't do the things you can do, and you can't do the things I can do. Well, the nose was not made for feeding. But that's the way it is with some of us. Some of us, in wanting to lift ourselves up before the body of Christ, and it stifles someone else, and then someone else is looking at you, and they're looking at you and say, well, I want to do that. And they don't even know how to do that. Well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And it's not a perfect fit, and it's a little bit uncomfortable, you know. It's like pushing beans up your nose. It's not meant for that. God has given us grace, every one of us individually. He has given us gifts differently. I think of my wife. She has a gift of administration, which is listed in the Bible. A gift of administration. Sometimes we always want to think the gift of prophecy, the gift of preaching, you know, teaching and tongues and all these different things, when there's other gifts as well. And she has a gift of administration. She can do books. I'm okay. I'm a middle-of-the-road electrician. But she's a good bookkeeper. If it wasn't for her, I'd run the company into the ground. I really would. Because I don't know how to do that. It's not my place. It's not my gift. I'm sure I could learn, but I could never be as gifted as she is. And this is what we're talking about. Trying to be something that we're not in Christ. Just use the talents, if you will, or the gifts that God has given you. So we, being many, it says, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We share, we partake. It's like the vine we were talking about. If you're grafted in, some are grafted at the bottom, some are grafted at the top, some are grafted in the middle. But wherever you're grafted in, you're grafted in. You're a part of Jesus Christ. You have a ministry all unique to yourself. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If you do notice that you have certain things that you're good at, use them to benefit others. Whether here at the church or out in the community, use these gifts that God has given you. I have a friend who, I won't mention his name so I won't embarrass him, but he has a gift of helps. I remember one time I was broken on the side of the road. I remember another time I was broken on the side of the road. I remember yet another time I was broken on the side of the road. And he has the gift of fixing mechanical things like cars. And he would just drive out there. And he'd pull up in his little truck and he'd pull out this toolbox that slides out and everything. It's great. One time on the side of the road, he changed the crank, I guess it's called, or anything, you know, where the timing gears are and all that, out on the way to Lamy. And it's amazing. He has that gift. People will go to him all the time. Can you fix this? They'll take him the weirdest pieces of metal and say, do you think you can fix this? No, that's shot. But I can make a new one. And it's like, how can you make a piece of metal that works? And it's amazing. The gifts, whatever gifts you have, use them. It's going to list some things here. The differing gifts, to use them, of course. And it says, if prophecy, let us prophesize in proportion to our faith. Prophecy, if you look it up, it's foretelling. It could be telling of future things that are to happen, yes, but it's more importantly than that, an inspired speaker or way of speaking. So is it prophecy that, you know, I know that God's going to bless you, and you'll see sometimes in prayer groups where someone will have a word of knowledge or maybe even a gift of prophecy for that time. And sometimes God will work through His people and even plant something in your mouth, and you know it's from the Lord, and they know it's from the Lord, and then you just wait to see if it is from the Lord. And if it is, you praise God. If it isn't, you just, you know, you appreciate the prayers. But Prophecy could be that kind of speaking, or it could be the inspired speaking. That which God comes upon you by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're inspired to go to someone. Has that ever happened to you where God just leads you to a person, or puts a person in front of you, and you just know that it was God, whatever was said? I remember one time being on a mission trip, and it was me and another guy, and we didn't speak the language real well. We were in Mexico, and the guy was a Mexican, you know, and he was the leader of the group, and he's just standing there, and we're standing in front of the hospital handing out tracts, and we got back and said, well, we're out of tracts. We have one left. He goes, give it to that guy over there. And there was this guy you could see walking through the, you know, behind the glass coming out of the hospital, and just in obedience, trusting God, we went over there. We just walked over there and started talking to him in our Spanish that is kind of mingled, you know, northern New Mexican. And it turned out to be a young kid. And we gave him the track. And all of a sudden, God put it on the heart of this guy that I was with who spoke no Spanish at all. But all of a sudden, all these things started coming into his mind, he told me, about youths, young people, like that God has used in the Bible. He says, can you translate? And I go, kind of, I'll try. And all of a sudden, he'd tell me the story, and I was telling the story in Spanish, speaking pretty fluently, not lifting myself up, recognizing that it was the Lord, because I didn't speak that good. I speak a little better now, but then I didn't speak that good at all. And it was amazing because it was inspired speaking by God as it went through one vessel into another vessel, into a heart that was ready to receive. And as he did that, the guy, the kid, gave his life to Jesus Christ. As this guy was giving me all these people that we know of, you know, kings and warriors like David, who were youths. They were young people when God started to use them. And that boy gave his life to the Lord. Inspired speaking. Prophecy, speaking forth the word of God. If prophecy, then prophesize in the proportion of your faith. In all that you have, I had this much knowledge of Spanish, but God gave me more. And that's what it's talking about. In the proportion of your faith, step out and see what God will do. Notice the change that will happen not just in your life, but in others as well. If so, then prophesy. Or ministry. Ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. Ministry. It's an attendant, a servant, a teacher, an office, a waiter, even running errands. That's what the definition of it is in the original language. So you see that anything that you have, bring it to the Lord. I'm always thinking of the little drummer boy. Don't ask me why. I know it's just a story. But I think that's the way we are. We bring what we have. But you bring what you have and you bring it to the Lord. If in ministry, well, then use it. If you're a good servant, then serve people. If you're a good teacher, then teach people. If you hold an office, then use that to glorify God. If you're a waiter and you can wait on people, then wait on them. If you can run errands good, if you're an administrator, if you're whatever it is, don't just look at these glorifying ones that seem to be prominent among the gifts of God. And we want those ones, the ones on top. Just whatever you have. It's God who exalts you. He even puts kings in their places, it says. So He'll exalt you when He knows you can handle it. In ministry, then minister. In teaching, then teach. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Teaching, training others. Share the wisdom that God has given you. Why, Pete? Why do I have to share this with me? Why can't I just store up all this wisdom and knowledge and parade it around? What's wrong with that? Because the Bible says in Ephesians 4:11, it's given for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, all of which we are because we're grafted in. Let love be without hypocrisy. We saw the gifts of grace, the different gifts, now love. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Now, we're going to go through a list of things. Let love be without hypocrisy. Active love, in other words. Don't just say, I love you, man. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Do you think that perhaps maybe you can help me? Well, what's the problem? Well, I know that you have all this knowledge about the Lord. Maybe you can just, can you help me in certain areas? Oh, that's, dude, I don't have the time, you know. Why I see that you're able to teach music. Can you help me? Well, I really don't have the time. Why, I notice that you're good at administrations and I'm starting a company. Could you just kind of help? Well, I really can't, man. Love, true love, not mere emotions. I love you. I love you too. Be holy in love with your heart, your mind, and your will. It's called active love. Purposing to put yourself out. Purposing to care for other people. Yeah, but some people hurt me. I don't want to get near them. Purposing. That's love. Love is deciding that you're going to love someone. It's not just the feelings, not just the emotions. Love without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Hold on to what is good. Abhor what is evil. Can you imagine if there was a flood? I see these floods on TV, and it blows me away how the rivers can rise so much and just take houses and everything. And every now and then, you'll see people clinging on to a tree. Hanging on, and the helicopter's trying to get them, and they're just stuck up there on a tree, just holding on, sometimes holding their children. The Bible says, abhor what is evil. In other words, look at it as a raging river that's trying to take you down, trying to take you under. That's evil. And cling to what is good. God is good. Hold on to the things that you've learned from God like you would to that tree for your very life. And grab anyone who's alongside of you and hang on to them as well. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Giving of yourself first. There's three pieces of pie. You have one. Your friend has another. Who's going to eat the third piece? Are we just going to share it? That's what he's talking about. Having preference one for another. Say, no, brother, you eat it. I noticed that you're a lot hungrier than I am. You were working a lot harder. You eat it. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. If you're active in love, you should be rejoicing in hope. Because there's hope. When things are kind of glum, kind of glim, and it doesn't look all that great for you. But you rejoice in hope. I love when I talk to someone. Sometimes even making an offer of myself and saying, do you need help? And they say, you know what? We're going to wait on the Lord. If he doesn't show up by such a time, and then, I could probably use your help. But until then, we're rejoicing in the Lord. We're rejoicing in the hope that we know God is, he's our provider. He's our help. He's our everything. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. When things are rough, being patient. Waiting for God to move. How often we get ahead of God and we start to move first. Just wait. Be still and know that he is God. Continuing steadfast in prayer. Sometimes we don't pray anymore because we've given up all hope. But if you're rejoicing in hope, if you're being patient in the tribulation, then stay fast in prayer because that is the bridge that'll carry you across. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. Notice, given to hospitality. A lot of people say, I don't have the gift of hospitality, man. Otherwise, I'd invite you to my house. Well, I don't see where it's the gift. It says, given to hospitality. Give of yourself in the place of hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. There's times where perhaps we might financially not be able to buy certain things, let's say. But a friend of yours is, and God is blessing them. Rejoice with them. Say, you know what? I think that is cool. That's a nice truck. Don't be all, it's all right. I wouldn't have bought a truck like that. I wouldn't have bought a Chevy. I wouldn't have bought a Ford. Rejoice with them. Say, man, that's cool. That is a nice, nice truck. Weep with those who weep. In other words, it's my problem. It's an area that you guys can help me work on. I'm always joking around. You know that. Sometimes I can be really a pain in the butt. But I like to joke around. Sometimes, I don't realize that someone's down and I'm joking around and I feel so bad afterwards. Sometimes I even go back and apologize. I say, I'm sorry, I didn't know, Weep with those who weep. If they're down, then, be down with them for a little bit. Help them through this. Be of the same mind toward one another. Don't set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. It's interesting how in our society, sometimes we try to associate with anyone but the humble. We want to go around the ones who have preeminence or lift themselves up because they're the ones who get noticed, so I want to hang out with them. But associate with the humble. I used to love going to church with my wife when I first got saved. I always sat in the back because I was always one of those guys in school that sat in the back, partly because I was making trouble, usually. But at church, I wasn't making trouble. I just got used to sitting in the back. And some people would say, come and sit in the front with us, you know? And then one thing I noticed about sitting in the back is that people that were coming to church for the first time or the first few times would settle in the back because they're kind of shy, you know? And they sit back there real quiet, just kind of looking at everybody, nervous. And I'd sit by there, and well, I like to joke. And I start talking to them just before service. And before you know it, I got to meet a whole group of people that some people that were sitting in the front never got to meet. I talked to them, you know so-and-so? No. What about this guy? No. That gal? No. The little kid? No. Because they were always sitting in the front. So we would just move around in the back, meeting all these people. It was so cool. I like that. It was neat. Associating with the humble, the ones who are kind of shy. And don't be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. I love verse 18 because it says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Because you know you can't. Unfortunately, in the world we live in, we try and be peaceful to some people and they won't have it. You just can't live in peace with them. Something about you just really bugs them and they're not going to be your friend. And that's just the way it is. But I love that he puts, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, you put your best foot forward and let God do the rest. And if they're unreachable at this point, maybe someday they will be reached. And you guys will be friends. And things will be settled. But in the meantime, as much as depends on you, as much as possible. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Now, some people like this verse because they say, beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. I'll just be wrathful towards them. That's not what it's saying. What it's saying is, if you read it, the rest of it, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. In other words, don't you go after them. Don't avenge yourself. How many times have people spoke ill of me? And I don't even confront them. I stay quiet. I pray. And I say, God, if you had them say this about me or to me that I might learn, then let me learn. If not, let you deal with it. You deal with them, Lord. If there's wrath to be taken out, let you take it out. I don't have to do it. And when I do that, I find that God always has stood in the gap. God will remove people from my life sometimes, and I know exactly why. And I've done nothing to do it. I haven't lifted a finger against them. I merely stayed in prayer. Do not avenge yourself. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. How many of you have people who don't like you at work? Maybe they despise you. Be a blessing to them. Give them half of your sandwich. Buy them a soft drink. Tell them, I'm praying for you. I heard that you had a loss in your family. Be a friend to them. If your enemy is hungry, feed them. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what God has called us to do. That's what the gifts for today are. They're not so that we can flaunt them in front of the church. They're not so that we can brag to them in front of the unsaved that are looking at us like, oh my God, that could never happen to me. God could never use me in that capacity. No, the gifts for today, they're for these things to minister to. You guys all have them. I see a lot of gifts in a lot of you people. The ones I know, I see certain things that just kind of stand out. Use those things. And maybe you don't notice them because sometimes we're in the fishbowl, you know, we just don't see outside of that sometimes. But if you don't see them, pray that God will show them to you. Because you are gifted in many things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. And we ask that you be with us today.
and that you be with us throughout the week, Lord, and that you would use each and every one of these people here, self included, to reach out to someone in love with the gospel of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you guys. Have a blessed week.